And we give you praise as I speak forth your word, that you speak through my lips, and let that word of healing go forth. For you've sent your word, and you've healed them, and you've delivered them from their destructions. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. I yield myself as your oracles, O God, with accuracy, with simplicity, and with power, that you speak through me, O God, and that Father Jesus Christ will be revealed in a fresh way as the healer of every wound, to restore men to this place of wholeness and completeness in Christ Jesus. Father, to restore men into the original intent you designed for them before the foundation of the world, to replace the garments that have been stolen even by Satan in their lives, and to direct them back into the course you designed for them on the earth. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise for destinies that have been changed today, lives have been transformed. And Father, we thank you because Jesus Christ is revealed afresh in every life, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to do a series now today, which is called, we'll start today, which is called Healed Without Scars. Because I was praying about this, and God laid on my heart that people have been going through the rituals, I believe, and that the heart is not making connection with the word of God. And he was saying that the reason why is not because the word has any problem, but because the enemy, which is the thief, has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And as a result, people are not able to reach out and receive the things that God has designed for them before the foundation of the earth. If you were not here last week, get the message on mercy. Very, very strong message. Before I go on, I'll read something to you. I read something to you which is very, very strong. It's from a book by Reverend Roy Hicks. He says, one of the great hindering factors facing counselors today is the difficulty in getting insecure people to face their insecurities. Until they do, very little help will be forthcoming. The Apostle Paul faces this uncertainty in 1 Corinthians 13:11. He wrote, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, psychologists teach that almost every adult has either a little boy or a little girl inside them. See, if this is true, then most human behavioral problems could easily stem from scars left deeply imprinted in people's minds. If your childhood memories and experiences continue to have a bearing on your psyche, you do indeed need to endeavor to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. As long as the old things, especially experience, have direct influence on your daily life, you cannot, as a believer, have full benefit of your new life in Christ. If you first face the possibility that the small child you were is being dealt with, you can easily understand why so many people have to continually deal with their insecurities. See, those painful, harsh childhood experiences are buried somewhere deep within you. You either seek to become a new creature in Christ totally, or continue to give way to the child in you. You have heard of an adult pouting because he did not get his own way, even going for weeks without speaking to someone. You have witnessed the violent temper, things thrown, angry words spoken, people shouting all around. There are no great laws we must fulfill to go to heaven. There are no great sacrifices to make. The laws are already fulfilled for us by Christ Jesus. The complete sacrifice has been made. All everyone needs to do is to believe, and that brings salvation to you. But however, one of the things we need to do is to continue to press in even to the perfection that he has designed for us, and to allow his spirit mold us and get rid of all the inadequacies, all the insecurities that the enemy has tried to put on us by stripping us of our garment and causing us to be confused. So that's what the teaching is going to be about. Open your hearts and let the Holy Ghost. We're not digging for things that are inside people's past. No. This is the work of the Spirit of God in the heart of every individual, because the essence of God is that He wants you to be whole and to fulfill the very reason for which you were created. That's what the gospel is about. So God, by His Spirit, is going to go with you personally on a private journey in this world and take you to those places that you need to open up to Him. We'll see it clearly, and to bring salvation and deliverance to your life as a person. So let's go to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. That's why we brought the good news. It is good news. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. It says Paul was called to be an apostle, separated unto something which is called the gospel of God. What is this gospel? The gospel which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So the gospel of God is something that he promised. It means that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, up to the book of Malachi has been promising about this gospel. And what is it about? He said the gospel is about his son, Jesus Christ. So the gospel is about one person, one man called Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the... You will see why Jesus Christ is your savior today. We'll see why the gospel is about this one man, Jesus Christ. What makes it so special? We'll see today, you know, some people think that they're righteous. Some people think, especially when you've grown up in a Christian home, you feel that everything was fine. But you will see today the reason why the sacrifice was paid and the reason why Jesus came to die. He said the gospel is concerning one man called Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am not ashamed of this gospel of Christ Jesus, because inside this gospel, there is a power which is released, which causes salvation and a transformation of anyone that believes it. So the gospel is actually the power of God, and God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to bring salvation to men and women in their various places. See, no human system has the answer to anything. No economic system, no support group can give you the answer to deep emotional pains that people are experiencing. No support group, they can try, they can palliate it, but nothing can solve the deep emotional pains that people are experiencing in the privacy of their house, that they go to the room, they cry to go to sleep. They walk around, they go to the offices, high-performing individuals, individuals that are top of their careers. But when they go to their houses, it's a time of tears because there's something inside that is driving them in that way. They are running away from something. All the systems have failed them. They have tried all sorts of support groups. They have tried all sorts of other ways, but the solution has not come. I'm going to give you good news. Jesus Christ has the answer, and that's why he came to die for your sins. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 13, chapter 10. We'll find out. Luke chapter 10. Want to unmask what Satan does and see how we'll appropriate what Christ has done for us. Romans chapter 10, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. This teaching, as I was going into it, it was so deep that I said, Lord, this, it can't finish. It is inexhaustible. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He was trying to taunt him. He said, he tempted him. And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He now said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. And he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said unto him, There was a certain man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem to Jericho, in historical facts, about 18 miles. It's a steep road, and that road is known for robbers visiting people. Robbers always attack people on that road, about 18 miles east. And he said he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him. They did four things to him. They stripped him of his clothing. They wounded him. They departed or rejected him, and they left him half dead. Meaning that he was still alive, but he was walking in a state where he couldn't fulfill all his potentials. He was still breathing, as it were, but there was something missing. Something was taken out of him. As a result, he was walking at half of what he could really attain as a person on the earth. He was performing at half his potential. You can liken it to a man who has a job or a company is performing at half of his potential. You can liken it to a wife who is in a marriage relationship. She's performing at half of her potential. You can liken it to a man who is in ministry. He's performing at half of his potential because he has been wounded and left alone and rejected. Now what happened? You see, the essence of the body of Christ, God showed me clearly, is to heal the brokenhearted. Because when the anointing came on Jesus, Jesus said the Spirit of God is upon for one reason, to preach the gospel to the poor. The second thing is to bind up the brokenhearted. That's the second thing he said. And this man is synonymous. He's just showing us a type of what the work of the Holy Ghost is on the earth. He said, what happened? The Levite came. Religion is the most deadly thing. The Levite came. What happened? Levite passed by. This scribe came. He passed by. And what now happened? He said, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and he saw him, and he had compassion on him, and he went to him, and he bound his wounds. That's the ministry of the Spirit of God. He says, bind up the brokenhearted. I will show you what the brokenhearted means. He covered those wounds, and what happened? He took him, eventually put him on his own horse, and took him to the inn. Because then that's the essence of the church. The church is the inn where the brokenhearted, the wounded, the people that are disillusioned should come and aggregate to bring solutions to their lives, to bring healing. He's not interested in you fronting. No, he's not interested in you trying to pretend as if you are healed. No, he wants to bring healing, not fronting. No, he's not interested in you coming out here and putting up a facade that you are well. No. He says, Jesus, why are you moving around with these people that are ill? Why are you moving around with publicans and sinners? Jesus said, look, I came for people that are sick. I came. If you are well, you don't need a physician. He said, that's why I came. He said, that is the essence of this thing. He said, those are the people that we should get. Religion has said, no, for the sake of convenience, it is not nice for me to associate with those people. They said, they walked over, they passed by this guy, we cannot associate with him. Wounded. We can't associate with this person. She's a prostitute. We can't associate with this person. She's been known to be a pedophile. We can't associate with this person. Jesus said, that's what I'm called to meet. They brought the woman caught in adultery. He said, Lord, the law says we should stone her. Jesus said, no. He said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. He looked at her. What came out was compassion. What happened to that woman was healing. He says, look, woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's what happened. That is what the church is there for. That's what the Spirit of God is there for us to do. Because the systems of this world are failing. See, the systems of this world have failed so much that you can see the degree of brutal crimes that are taking place outside. It is not that the people are bad. The people, there are wounds inside those guys crying out for help. Nobody can help them. It's only the anointing of God that has the power to reposition a man and heal the inner wounds. Systems can come and put structures on the outside and paint things. But nobody can enter the soul of a man to cause a transformation. The word of God is the only thing that is perfect and bring conversion to a soul. That's what Jesus is saying. We are the answers. Let us begin to go in and open up ourselves to receive healing inside our hearts, so we can go out and distribute even the help that God has given us. So let's go now. We'll see some things in this thing, which is very, 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 very deep. Very, very deep thing. I was reading Joyce Meyer's book. She said, even as a pastor, it took her 1 year to believe that God loves her. See, we might be reading the thing. That's why the Ephesians chapter 3 prayer is one of the most powerful prayers. So that you might know. Because the greatest need of man is acceptance. Honestly, after all is said and done, what everybody needs is acceptance. That's why God said, look, you have been accepted in the Beloved. That's what he gave us. He gave us acceptance. He says, no matter what you are, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. It's acceptance that man needs. All the rain around is acceptance. A man might be working so hard, all he's looking for. He has, in his childhood, he might have done some, his parents might have not given him that level of acceptance. So his entire life, he's pushing things. He's working hard to gain that acceptance. That's what he might be doing. That's what he might be driving his activities. He might not know it. But that thing, that deep thing inside, the woman say, my husband doesn't love me. You're not giving me enough time. The thing, the root cause might be the fact that as a child, you're deprived of love. It's not the husband at all. There's something inside that will help to identify. You know, that is driving us to do things. Let's go now. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. We'll see some things here. I will show you the pathway and how, you know, this man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it's similar to a man born into the earth for a purpose. God has a purpose for a man. The man might have his own purpose. Satan has his own agenda to stop that thing from coming to pass. And we'll see what he does. He's trying, it's so serious. What happens now? Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 61 first. I will show you what Jesus came to do. Then we'll go and see. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me for one, so these reasons. Because one, he has anointed me to preach the gospel unto the meek. Good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. What does it mean to be brokenhearted? I will show you. It says, when it says to bind up, it says to quicken or repair or restore the brokenhearted. It means binding wounds, both physical and spiritual, which results in healing. It says, brokenhearted means to burst, to break, to crush, to destroy, to hurt, to quench, to tear, and to break down or violently wreck or crush, to rupture something, to maim something, to cause it to be crippled or wrecked, to shatter or to cause a breakout, to cause it to be distorted beyond recognition. So he said, God has come to bind up the brokenhearted. He has come to bind up the brokenhearted. No human relationship can solve the problem. See, the problem is, we'll see that people have been looking to human relationships. A woman experiences something, she thinks that it's by getting into a new relationship that will solve it. It doesn't solve the problem. We'll show you clearly how God wants to get into those places. See, people have been abused because they have looked to man. And the thing about a wound is that the first responder is so important. In medicine, if you have a wound, the first doctor you see makes a big difference. If the first responder doesn't treat it well, it can become a complicated case. And God wants to be the first responder. That's what he's saying. He said, God wants to, he's saying, is there no balm in Gilead? There's a physician there. Why is the hurt and the wound of my people not healed? Why are people carrying things for years, 18 years, 20 years, and it's not healed? Because they're not using me as the first responder. I want to be the first responder. Even if you go to man, go to men that know that he's the first, that will point you to the first responder, because no man can heal. Nobody can heal. It is not, they cannot heal the wounds inside you. The support groups cannot heal the wounds inside you. They can palliate it. The psychologists or psychiatrists cannot heal emotional wounds. They can speak to you. They can give you drugs that will quell it, but they will relapse. Jesus is the only physician that can heal to the point where there's no relapse. And that's what he's saying. Make me your first responder. So let's see what the wound is. Let's see what actually happens. You know, I believe it's so strong that the greatest need of man is acceptance. It is so strong that, we'll see some things here. Let's go to the book of, I think it's 1 Samuel. Second Samuel 13. So we said it. He was going with his purpose from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he fell among thieves. He said, I like the way my pastor puts it. He said, thieves. He said, I'm going to, the Holy Ghost said, I'm going to make it as plain as possible. It's going to be, because when I was doing this thing, I was seeing some things on myself. I said, God, what you mean these things are, the root of these things are these? He said, yes, they are these things. You know, the Holy Ghost was showing me some things. I said, Lord, ah! You know, so he said, he fell among thieves. I like what Pastor said, thieves are people that are in close association with you, that by virtue of the relationship, they steal from you. Robbers are people that come with violence and say, give me your money. There's no relationship, but they come with violence. Thieves, they might be close, but by virtue of that relationship, they steal from you. It's like, Father, I give you thanks. An uncle, I'm going to be very graphic, coming to a house and staying with the family and abusing the children. That's a thief. Stripping people of their garments. That's a thief. By virtue of the relationship, or someone coming to your life and stealing your money because he has access to your bank card because he's close to you. Someone coming because he knows he's close to you and your words carry weight. He uses words to deliberately damage you by speaking words into your life. Or someone, peradventure, unknowingly, you know, does not give you the affection you require as a child. Not by his own, he doesn't know better. He wasn't given that affection as a child. He doesn't know what it means to give childhood affection. He withholds that thing not because he wants to, and the child grows up without any form of affirmation. What God is saying in that situation is that what your father is not to you, I want to be to you. Release the person and let them go. What your parents were not to you, that you are still moving around in that state that they didn't show me any love, God said, I want to be to you. For if your father and your mother forsake you, I will not forsake you. Release the people. Forget, release the people. What man is not to you, God will be to you. But you have to release them. You're showing me that, look, if a dog bites, all this thing about revenge, all this thing about judgment. You say, if a dog bites a man and they kill the dog, does the man get healed? He doesn't. He said, the only thing that will heal that man is for them to treat that wound. I'm saying the way to treat that wound, the first point is for the man to release the dog. That's where the healing will start from. Because the same anointing for healing, same anointing for forgiveness. That's what you say, which is easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven you, or rise, take up your bed and walk. God is going to deep regions. Because the reason why, just wants to make you a complete man. He says, I pray that your whole spirit, which is saved, your soul, which comes to your mind, will, and emotions, be made blameless until, and body, be made blameless until the coming. He wants a complete whole man in Christ Jesus. Your soul was not saved. Your soul was not saved. You're carrying some of the things, like the Egyptians, they came from Egypt, the Israelites came from Egypt, saved, that's salvation, but they still carry the mindset and the things of Egypt with them. So that soul has to be saved. Those things, and you know what? You see, God, show me, in this thing, what the enemy tries to do, it tries to hit in childhood. Because he knows that the formative years are in that part of the man's life. He hits in childhood. Protect your children. Protect your children. That's why he says, I will contend with them that contend with you and save your children. Protect those children with the blood. Protect those children with the word. Those things are very deep. Because once the formative years are formed, those things become into the character of that person and it begins to grow with you subconsciously, not knowing what is regulating his affairs on the earth. That's what happens. It forms into his being and it begins to work like that. He might not even remember the exact events, but something has entered him. So that he said, what time did this thing enter this child? Say, as a child. When he was talking to that man. As a child. So let's understand that. Very important. I remember a story. I was 3 years old. I don't know how the man can remember that. When I compound, this thing's very deep. My sister was with me. So a dog came. I can't believe I was 3. This dog started pursuing us. See, I was running. I can't believe this was over 50 meters. How a 3-year-old would run for 50 meters without the dog catching. I can't still understand. My sister, she overtook me and didn't look back. So I was running, trying to catch up. I looked back, I saw the dogs mouth in my feet. I don't know how on earth. I was that young. 3 years. I was just 3 years. How do you run from a dog? And the reason I'm saying this is to say this. I had this serious fear of dogs. I didn't know where it came from. It was just a month ago. I'll tell you that. Because I called her and said, well, how old were we when that dog chased us? It was just, I remember that this thing, that is where it came from. It has to be addressed. So there are things that have happened. You will never have a conscious memory of them that have ingrained into your being and have shaped your life and have made you that way. So the Holy Ghost is going to go, it's not a digging, you know, the Holy Ghost himself, that's his ministry, to bind up the brokenhearted. So, because after some time, if that thing is not dealt with, demonic spirits begin to enter. You see, that thing begins to regulate people's behavior. You see, this thing is so deep that when you see people misbehaving, nowadays you don't condemn. You have to find out where is the root of this thing. Something might have happened. When you see people that are abusive, 90% of them have been abused. They've been abused. And that thing has entered into them and is making them behave irrationally. Anger, wrath, insecurity. We'll see where the root is from. Let's go to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 13. This nation needs this thing. You can see the degree of violence. Kidnapping one child here. Killing. It's only Jesus that has the answer. Second Samuel. Chapter 13. We've used this story several times, but I saw something interesting here. 2 Samuel chapter 13. And you know that garment signifies your identity. It's like who you really are. What Satan wants to do is to strip you of that thing. So you'll be confused. Walking around, the man was going on a course of life. He sent people to strip him of his garment. And you see why Jesus was stripped. Jesus was stripped for a reason. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Talked about this story of Tamar and Ammon. We know the story of how Ammon. Let's go to verse 2. And Ammon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister. You see, this was not love. It was more of maybe infatuation or something. I don't know what it was. And Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Ammon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. I've talked about this several times, about relationships. But Ammon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. There are some things you won't be able to do, or you cannot do, until someone in your environment comes in and influences you to do them. So be careful about your relationships. Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. He was a very cunning man. He was sly. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Would thou not tell me? And Ammon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed. He gave him the strategy, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may eat it at her hand. So Ammon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king came to see him, and when the king was come to see him, Ammon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Ammon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Ammon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Ammon said, Have out all the men from me. And they went out, every man from him. And Ammon said unto Tamar, bring the meat unto the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes, and when she had made and brought them unto the chamber, to Ammon her brother. And he said, and when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her, and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not this folly. And I, whether shall I cause my shame to go? That word shame there means to strip off someone's garment. When a person is injured emotionally or wounded, what happens is that the garment is stripped off. That means the purpose of the person is lost. The person begins to do everything on the outside, but that wound needs to be healed. And we'll show you something. I'll show you something. Let's go. It says, and whether shall cause my shame to go? Then that's 14. Howbeit, he would not hearken to her voice, but being stronger than her, he forced her and lay with her. And Ammon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. And Ammon said unto her, rise and be gone. Rejection. And she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than what you have done unto me. There's nothing greater than what's that rejection. He said, the fact that you are rejecting me, that's the problem. It's worse than what you have done to me. That's what Jesus says. He was despised and rejected of men. He took that thing upon himself. He understands what that rejection means. The fact that someone has been rejected, that's the essence of Satan. Satan wants to cause that feeling of rejection to come through all those things. And what that births is insecurity. That's it. He wants to cause that rejection. He says the rejection is worse than what you have done to me. Can you imagine? So he wants to cause that thing called insecurity. Meaning, when you have stripped someone of his garment, the person feels exposed and insecure. That's it. Let's go to Genesis. You will see, we have to get to the root. We are whole people. Genesis. Chapter 3, verse 6, sister from 6. See, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, one, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. It stripped their garments. He exposed them. That's what he did. That's Satan's plan, is to strip that garment. And that garment represents your purpose. I know what God's plan is. Go to the book of Daniel chapter 3. I will show you what God's plan is in all this. And I will show you what to do. Keep your hand here. Look at Daniel chapter 3. Because we need to expose the enemy. Daniel chapter 3:16. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then when Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, therefore he spoke and commanded that they, heat up the furnace 7 times more than it was. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. You think they were not afraid? You think they were, do you think their minds, their emotions would not have been running wild? So I want to show you that these guys in the fire, let's go on. And he commanded, 21, saying, then these men were bound in their coats, they had their garments on, and hosen, and their hats, and the other garments. So they had their garments on, they were intact. So the essence of that fire, what does it do first? Does it burn your garments off first? That's what it does. It lifts your garment and it burns it off. That is Satan's intent, to burn, to destroy that purpose, because he knows there is a king inside you. There is someone inside you he wants to destroy. That's what happens. See, this. Yep, let's go. I'm getting excited now. Let me relax. Therefore, because the kings, then these men were cast into the fire. And was therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, that the furnace become exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. See, there's something happening here. And rose up in haste, and spoke and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men in the midst of the fire? And he said, no, but I see four men loosed and walking in the fire. What happened? What is the difference? And what happened? Let's go on. He said, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth, 26, of the fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, captains, and kings and counselors being gathered together, so that these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, neither was an hair of their head singed, neither was their coat changed. There was no change of their garments. And we'll find out why. Now the smell of fire passed upon them. What happened? Nebuchadnezzar, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels to deliver you. What did he say? He said, we worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that no God can deliver after this sort. That means there's no other solution anywhere. There's no religion or any system that can deliver a man that goes through fire or a situation that he comes out unscarred. He comes out without any residual effect of that abuse. There is nobody that can deliver to that point and save to the uttermost a person that's been abused and raped and comes out of that situation completely free, whole in life. There's nobody that can do it except God. He said nobody can deliver after this. So God is saying, this is where I'm going to. I want to take you to a point where, even though you have gone through the harshest situation on earth, even though you've been abused to the depth that no, you can't even describe, you're ashamed to describe it. He said, I have the power to take you through a process whereby you will come out completely unscarred, completely healed, and completely whole. That's the essence. Without any residual effect of that situation in your life. That's what God is going to. And how did it happen? They brought Jesus Christ into the fire. You have to bring God into the fire. I will show you. They brought Jesus Christ into the fire. Let's go to Genesis again. I have to show this thing clearly. Some people are carrying wounds. And it's time for you to stop rehearsing the abuse you went through. God wants to replace that garment that's been stolen and give you back your coat to wear. Your real identity must shine forth, which is locked up inside you. It must come forth. It must come forth. Because Jesus has paid the full price. When he took the man to the inn, he said, I have paid the full price. Treat him at whatever cost. I will pay you the rest. Jesus has paid the full price on the cross, by his blood. Therefore, you are coming out free. The price has been paid. No residual effect of any abuse, of any rejection, of any form of things that has happened in your past will be found in your body, in your life. Because it has made you whole. It has. So all those things about abuse, rejection, depression, all those are manifestations, symptoms of something that is deep-seated. When you are depressed, moody, very angry, they are manifestations of things that are deep-seated. Don't judge people hurriedly. Calm down. Don't judge people hurriedly. There are things they've gone through you don't know. They might not tell you. There are things inside their closet and they cry every night to God for. Let's go to Genesis. So the eyes, 3:7. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, And what the problem is, God was saying, this is why they came out unscathed. This is why they came out unscathed. He says there were four men inside the fire. You have to let God enter inside the deepest wounds of your heart. Yeah. He said they sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. Because the garment was taken off. They had to gather themselves and cover that thing. They sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. They used their own hands to try and cover it. They were so ashamed of it that they covered themselves, some people. They were hiding that thing from themselves. And when you do that, you begin to wear a mask. That's what breeds what you call someone who becomes a Pharisee. He hides that wound because he's ashamed. He hides it from people. But isn't that his burning? And in hiding from people, you're hiding from God. Because it says here, it says they were ashamed, they hid it. So when they heard the voice of the Lord, he said, I heard your voice and I was afraid because I was naked. That same veil you're putting to hide from people is transferred also to God. God is saying, you're not bringing me into the center of that thing. You might be running around trying to do it yourself. He says, in returning and rest, you'll be saying, I want to show you that I love you despite that thing. I want you to experience the mercy and the compassion I have for you. Don't run away. Don't try and do things on the outside, because your social status, money and wealth cannot heal that thing. You cannot heal it. Don't cover yourself with fig leaves. You've been carrying that thing for years, that depression, that heaviness. Come to me. Jesus is saying. See, they brought him into the hottest fire. We have to open ourselves up to God. Bring those wounds to me. That's what he's saying. He says, I heard your voice and I was naked. They had covered themselves with fig leaves because they were exposed. Insecurity. They felt exposed, so they began to create structures and layers upon layers. And they began to go further and further away from the root of the pain. And their lives took up another identity. There was a man in the book of, I think it's Zechariah, I can't remember what it is. He said, prophet, prophesy unto us. He said, I'm not a prophet. Open his body. He said, what are these wounds? It's in the Bible. He said, these are the wounds that I secured in the house of my friends. He said, I am a farmer. His identity changed. The wounds. He said, I'm a farmer, honestly. But because of these wounds, I put another identity, which was false, and they began to run around. God is interested in making the man whole. He says, you are complete in Christ Jesus. You see, and I will show you that the same place whereby you are running away from, that is the place of your destiny. The same thing that is making you think. There's a woman called Tracy. Tracy had a husband. Tracy was married. She gave up her education for her husband. She gave up her career for her husband to do some activities whereby he would get promoted and all that. And what happened? When the husband got the thing, the husband started criticizing Tracy. So you're not educated. These are people that were at Pine University. It's like, I give up my career pursuit to help my husband get his career, his dreams. And he's not telling me that I'm not educated. Then when Tracy's husband comes and says, look, Tracy, I'm suing for a divorce. Tracy said her whole life went shattered. Went back and said, okay. She spoke to her parents, dad and mom, because her parents were these parents that, you mean, these legalists, not legal, they were very structured. I mean, everything must be structured. Dad and mom, he left, and that's it. They didn't discuss more than two lines. That is the only time. This was after 30 years. That's the only time she talked about it. People have 30 years. They just said, okay, I'm going to live my life now. Nobody on earth will do this thing to me again. That's the first one. The fig leaves are coming. Because he's exposed. The wound has taken a garment away. Now let us get some fig leaves to cover. Nobody can do this to me again. I'm going to get a job, professional development. To start to race at a speed. Everything was intact. She became a perfectionist to mar and to cloud and to cover the pain on the inside. But Tracy, when she comes up at night, She sees that she goes to the, she does gym at 10 p.m. She goes to bed. All is running away. When the man of God came to her, she met him on the plane. She just went on talking. I'm a this, I'm a that. But Tracy never mentioned one thing about her inner self. She talked about her job, talked about this, but nothing about her personal life. She was running away. When she said, I do the gym at night before I go to bed, the man of God said, the Holy Ghost quickened him. He said, Tracy, are you running or you are pursuing something? There's a difference between running away from something and pursuing a goal. There are two different things, Tracy. You are running. Tell me, Tracy, you, how often do you cry at night before you go to bed? She said, every time. Tracy broke down. The hard shell of Tracy crumbled. She started to weep. So he said, look, I've never discussed this thing with anybody on earth. This thing has injured me deeply. And I thought that by doing all these things, the pain will go away. Even 20 years now, the pain is still there, as real as it was. The man of God said, look, Tracy, the problem is that you won't allow Jesus to come into that place. You might even be praying to God about other things. You might even be singing to God. He says, you sing, you lift your voice in singing, but your heart is still far from me because you have not allowed me. See, allow me to come into that region, into the fire of your heart. Let me heal that place because that is the place of your assignment. Because the same womb that carried the dead child in Bathsheba's womb, the same womb that carried the king. The same womb that carried the king. The same place is the same place of your assignment. That womb that carried the dead child is the same womb that carried the king. And David thanked God for the spirit of the comfort of the Holy Ghost, which he represented at that point. He comforted Bathsheba, and she conceived and gave birth to the king. Allow him to enter that place. That is the place of your assignment. Don't run away. Allow him to come into that region. Tracy broke down and started crying. And she received Jesus Christ. And said, Jesus Christ came into her heart. And she imagined him coming to touch her. In that, just in the space of 10 minutes, Tracy was completely healed of the infirmity. And she was a different person. Let's understand that. Allow Jesus. You can cloud it in activities. You can even cloud it in spiritual activities. But Jesus is saying, no, my son. No, my son. No, no, that's not it. Let me come into that place that you're hurting. That place that is wounded. That is what I want to do. You might even be preaching under the power like me. But there's something inside there, my son. You're preaching, you still half of it. You are still performing at 50% because there's something there. I want to heal you so you can perform at 100%. There's a scar there which I want to take away. I am the only one on earth who has the power to take away scars. No human relationship can do it. No system can do it. No education, no amount of money can do it. I am the only one. All I'm asking, take off the mask. Come to me as the Holy Ghost shows you, and I will take that thing out by my power. That is why I'm here. Say, I, the Spirit of God, is upon me to heal, to bind up the broken heart. And God is saying, is there no balm in Gilead? There's a physician there. Then why then is the heart of my people not healed? It's because they're not coming to me in sincerity. Say, Lord, there is pain there. To the throne of grace, to obtain mercy, there is pain there. There is pain here. This anger is a product of pain inside there. This depression is a product of pain inside. This manic, depressive mood is a product of pain inside the Lord. I open it to you. Let Jesus go in there with his surgical hands and root that thing out. Isaiah. Before we go to Isaiah, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We'll just read a few scriptures. That's what the message of last week is almost, if you get it, it'll be good. Isaiah. Sorry, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. And you know what God was saying to me? We say we focus on the victim. We focus on the people that have been hurt. So there are people out there who have actually caused harm to people, who are carrying the guilt of that thing. They've repented, but the guilt is still on them. they feel horrible for causing so much pain, for stripping another man of his garment. Jesus said, I have also paid the price for that. The people, there's a pastor, I read it when I was in secondary school, university. He abused a young girl. So he did it when he was like 12 years or something. As a man, the guilt was still following him. After a week, they found him, hung himself. He dropped a suicide letter. He said, I couldn't bear the shame of what I did when I was a teenager. It followed me. That's what Jesus is saying. I want to heal those things. You might have even committed murder or killed someone and you are in prison. He's saying that, look, I have made provision for that to heal you of that thing. Just think of what Bathsheba would have felt. Well, think of David, but think about Bathsheba. I'm sure she would have felt worse than David. Think about what she had felt. I betrayed my husband. I committed adultery. And I'm here. And my husband has died. God is saying that that womb, that place, that's where your assignment is. Don't run away from it. Go back to it. As the Holy Ghost shows you. It's a thing, it's not a thing of looking for things you have. No. It's a thing as you go to God with an open heart. The root of this thing, I bring my heart to you. This heaviness I carry. There's a woman in the Bible, I think it's Luke chapter 13. She had been bent over for 18 years. That means her head was like this, constantly looking down at the dust. That means she didn't know anything about looking up. She could only see that thing. The problem was so there for a long time that all she knows, the state she knows, is a state of constant sorrow, constant pain. She doesn't think that there's any other thing outside of that, because she had been bent over for 18 years. And Jesus told her, woman, you're a daughter of Abraham. Behold of that plague. And she stood up erect. That's what Jesus is saying. There's a feeling. There's a kind of feeling of worthlessness you might be having. A kind of feeling of you've tried so many times to break through that thing. But Jesus is here today. The potter is here to make that thing straight. He's going to go into here surgically and remove that scar and cause that wound to be completely healed. That there's no trace of fire on your body. He gives you a change of raiment. The accuser is standing, like in the book of Zechariah, beside the prophet, and is putting accusations. God said, look, stop that. Today your iniquity is removed, and I will give you a change of raiment. What happened to the prodigal son? The same thing. Read the prodigal son. What happened to him? He wasted the goods, and he went to join himself. He went to a first responder who was a man. And the first responder made it worse by making him eat the pig's food. That's the first responder. You know, it might even be a good intention. He said, okay, let me give you some job to do. But the first responder does not have the answer. Until he came to himself, he said, my goodness, let me go back to my first responder, who is my father. And when he got to the father's place, what did he say first? Raiment, put on him a new robe. Restore his identity that was stolen in the country. Restore it back to him. That's what God is saying. People have lost their identity. They've been stolen from them either by thieves or robbers. And the real thief is the thief himself. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That destruction is a progressive thing from that stealing. So what God is saying, I've come to give you life, to restore that garment back to you. That's what Jesus come to do. So it's time to rejoice. Because the price has been fully paid in the end. Paid the full price for your freedom. So he has no right to keep you bound again. Now let's go. Hebrews chapter 4. Just read a few scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4. Next week we'll talk about the blood. Oh my goodness. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15. 14. It says, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He said, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He said, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may have mercy or compassion and find grace to help in the time of need. He said, he was tempted on all points like as we are, but yet without sin. So let us come to the throne of grace to have obtained mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. And lastly, we'll go to Isaiah. We'll round up today. Isaiah. Father, we give you thanks. And I will say something before we read Isaiah. When you get to read Genesis chapter 32, verse 22, when Jacob took Esau's garment, it's likened to a man who has committed a crime and the guilt of it is pursuing him on his life. And you know some people that are even injured, they think it's their fault. So they're carrying guilt inside them. Jacob was prospering. Go back and read that scripture. He was prospering. He even changed, gave God great substance, the cattle and all that. But something was following Jacob. You know, he ran from Esau in fear that his brother would kill him. That thing was still inside him. When he came to that place that Esau was going to come, he said, this is a do or die affair. The thing you have been running from, you have to come and face it now. God was trying to show something there. So when I was praying, when I saw it, he wrestled with the angel. So he allowed, finally, he was wrestling, still wrestling. So God said, look, Oga, you are wrestling too much. He touched, let me into that place. He touched his hip. He gave up. He said, okay, come inside that place. I said, now today I will change your name. You are now a prince with God and man. What happened to you before that? That thing he was running away from was the place of assignment, that's what I'm trying to tell you. That same thing that was making him run around. And after that, when he saw Esau, the thing had been sorted out. Don't worry about that. That thing is the place of your assignment. That thing that when you think about it, so you had courts. I didn't even know that I'm like this. I didn't even know nobody should hear about this. Call Jesus into that thing. That's what he's saying. Isaiah chapter 53. Father, we give you thanks. Jesus is Lord. He said, who had believed our report? We can begin to distribute the elements. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. All this was for you. Came to a point where he was totally despised. He is despised and rejected of men. He was despised. The same way Tamar, the same way he might have been despised, he was despised. And he experienced the rejection by men. They might have shut you out of that company. And I say you're not qualified for that job. Or you feel that your parents might have rejected you. Or that you have lost a close relationship. There might even be a divorce that's happened to you. You've been rejected. He says, a man of sorrow and acquainted. That means he was acquainted with grief. That means he was acquainted with grief. And when he does it, we have faces from him. Men might have turned their faces from you. They might have seen you. And mama says, is that person? She's the one. They might have called, she that was called barren. They might have said that of you. But she that was called barren has now become one with child. That's what Jesus is saying. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He says he was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for iniquities. Peradventure, you might be the one that has wounded someone. Your tree might have transgressed other people. He says he was wounded for that transgression and he was bruised for that iniquity. So stop holding yourself accountable. It has been transferred to him. He took your place. He came into the fire with you and he took your place. He took everything so you are free to go.
He has taken all the punishment that you deserve. So you're free to go. He says, the chastisement or the punishment required for us to obtain peace and well-being was upon him. That means everything you require. He took the pain, the shame, the grief to the point where it was satisfactory. Has Mr. A reached a state in his life and his sojourn on the earth where he is in a state of complete well-being? Yes, he has. Okay, I've borne it all. That's what he's saying. He took the pain to the point where you as an individual throughout your sojourn on the earth will be in a state of peace. That means completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, and complete well-being. When he did that, he satisfied the claims of justice. He then went further. He sorted all those things that will make you half dead. Then he now went further and went and paid the ultimate price, which is death on the cross. So he did everything. And by his stripes, you were healed. He says, for the transgression of my people was he afflicted. He opened not his mouth. Romans 15:3 says, the reproaches of them that reproach you fell on me. Romans 15:3 said, the reproaches of the people that reproached you, as they were reproaching you, it was falling on him. As we were abusing you, it was falling on him. He was taking everything on your behalf so that you will be free. They might have said you amount to anything. He took it. If people say you won't amount to anything, Jesus is saying, I am the one you're talking to. I've taken that reproach upon myself so that you'll be free. You are free, honestly. But he's saying, let me in to experience the complete healing and deliverance and wholeness that belongs to you. Says we are complete in Christ Jesus. So it was good that he did that. The Bible says, if the prince of this world had known that this sacrifice was the ultimate sacrifice to bring about wholeness and completeness in humanity, he would have left Jesus to go. But he crucified him. And Jesus says that now, because you have done that, all those people that have been wounded and bruised, this is the point where they will enter in to my labors and experience the resurrection life. Open those places again to him and let him enter in and cause you to enter into a new level of life. That's what he's saying. That's the entry point. That's the end. Say, if they are not, they won't have crucified him. So he's now saying, I want to bring out the wisdom that the things that have been despised will now become the ones that are reigning in life as kings. You might have been despised, but God is saying, look, in that place of despise, there's an assignment and there's an appointment which I have made available in the death, in the burial and the resurrection of my son. Don't be ashamed of it, because he's not ashamed to call you brethren. He's not ashamed to identify with you in whatever situation you are in. You have been set free. It's completely free. You're completely free. Those things and those feelings, God wants now to come and enter in and take them out. It's not from him. The condemnation is not from him. The guilt is not from him. The pain is not from him. He has taken it all that you might be free. Now what we do now is we break bread. So sing, O barren. That's what we do in response. Thou that is not bare, you might feel half dead, break forth into singing and cry aloud with the fact that Jesus Christ has paid it all. That's why the gospel was about Jesus Christ. Because it was him that did the ultimate sacrifice. And he now lives inside you as a person. That means the victory of the cross now resides inside you. He said, break forth into singing and cry aloud. Thou that do not have any children. For many are the children of the desolate and the children of a married wife. He said, don't spare. Begin to sing and worship him, understanding that this is what he has done for me as a person. That no man can lay a charge against me again, because I'm the elect of God. All those pains and those sorrows, he has taken away. He has taken away my sorrow. He has taken away my shame. And he has clothed me with my true and authentic identity, which is in him. Father, we give you thanks. Begin to give God thanks. Begin to give him praise. Begin to give him praise, because he has done it all for you. You don't have to go around with guilt. You don't have to go around with heaviness again. As we break bread, begin to acknowledge the sacrifice that his body was broken for you, that your body might not be broken. And that broken body must have affected his mind. Say he was tortured and he was disfigured beyond form. His mind and everything was in a state of constant tumor, even to the extent that God himself, he says, my God, why have thou forsaken me in this place? There's nothing worse than being rejected by God. There's nothing worse than being torn. When God, he says, God, you have turned your back on me. And he did it for you. You are free. You are free to go. The rejection, he has accepted you unto himself. He has accepted you. Don't let that feeling of inferiority again. Don't allow it, don't allow the enemy to keep on placing that thing on you. Allow Jesus to come in by the power of his spirit to effect what he has done in your heart. Begin to allow him to come in. Begin to sing, commune with him as you sit down in this place today and see him. See him with your mind's eye saying, my son, my daughter, you are free. I hold nothing against you anymore. Go and begin to live your life to its fullest. Begin to go and live your life to its fullest. The enemy might come from time to time and say, you say, no, it is under the blood. Jesus Christ has done it all for me. I am free, completely free. I don't have to try and impress anybody anymore. I don't try and look good in the sight of men. I am accepted in the beloved. I am loved more than I know. He says, I have a heart of compassion towards you. I have a heart of love towards you. Like the prodigal son coming back to his father. My hands, her hands are open wide towards you. Just come in and drink of that mercy. There's no guilt towards you. There's no charge in heaven against you. Don't hold yourself bound. Don't hold yourself bound. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God and the head of the church, I break every demonic influence over the minds of the people. I break the spirit of depression. I break the spirit of condemnation. You leave the people of God now in the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. But I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I said the joy of the Lord begins to well up in your heart. The joy of the Lord begins to well up in your heart, consuming, destroying every scar. But I thank you, Lord. I give you praise. As you take the bread, give him thanks. Give him thanks for what he has done. Give him thanks for a release of new life. Give him thanks for a change of your garment. Give him thanks for a restoration of your garment and true identity on the earth. You don't have to walk around inferior to any man anymore. You don't have to walk around with your head down anymore. The past is behind and the future is ahead of you. Go for it. Past has no bearing, cannot affect and hold you back from the future he has planned for you. You're on your way to Jericho now. You walk free and arrive at Jericho, your destination, in the name of Jesus. Father, I give you thanks. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. There's a change of garment now taking place. People's identity has been restored by the Spirit of God. Open your heart and receive what the Holy Ghost is doing in your heart. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you, Jesus.